And I want to stop there, and we'll preach this morning on the subject of the root of bitterness. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we've been made to feel. And Lord, I just ask you today for your precious anointing to rest upon us. Lord, I pray that you would give me the mind of God today. And Lord, that you would bless me to deliver that which I believe will be a blessing to your people if you help me to preach it right. And Lord, I am totally dependent upon you today as always. And I ask, Lord, for your divine guidance, assistance, and give me your thoughts. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I usually search very diligently for a great illustration to open my messages with. I know you all know that. You're used to hearing me preach. But for today's message, the Lord gave me the opening, if you will, out of his word. I want to take you back for a moment to the story of Joseph, who I believe was one of the most outstanding characters known in the word of God. You know, Joseph, he was favored of his father. Jacob had made him the coat of many colors, which was symbolic of God's salvation offered to all peoples and all kindreds and all nations. And due to Jacob's love for Joseph, he was looked upon by his brothers with jealousy and contempt. So much so that they took him and threw him in a pit and went and told his father that he was dead. Reuben, one of the brothers, came back and pulled him out of the pit, and they ultimately, to abbreviate the story, sold Joseph into slavery into an Egyptian traveling band that was going through the desert. And as Joseph was sold into slavery, he began to uncover, God began to show him his spiritual giftings. And so much that he was placed second in command in Potiphar's house, who was one of the highest ranking leaders in Egypt. And then Potiphar's wife, seeing the gifts of Joseph, and the Bible says that Joseph was a handsome man, she wanted Joseph. And when Joseph refused her advances and told her that he would not turn his back on his God and commit any kind of sin, she made up a lie on him and said that, in essence, he had raped her. And now Joseph is cast again into prison. And after a period of time, he is, through the giftings of God, taken out of prison once again, as he is the only one who can interpret a dream that Pharaoh had. And he is placed in second in command of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth, ultimately. But what I want to focus on this morning is that in the unfair, tumultuous events that happened in the life of Joseph, he never once became bitter. He never once blamed God, because he had such a strong faith in God. Joseph grasped what I know the Holy Ghost wants us that are present here today to really get our mind around. And the Lord did some work in Greg Browning this week pertaining to this message. All the bad that happened in Joseph's life. Now, first of all, think about that. Being sold into slavery by your brothers. It's one thing when somebody outside of the family hurts you. But when it's those that are closest to you inflicting the grossest evils upon you, that carries with it a particular hurt. But we don't read one time where Joseph raised his voice against his brothers. And I thought, my Lord, what an example. What an example that is. And then after Potiphar's wife lied on him, after seemingly things are going good again for Joseph, no doubt he misses his family and his brothers in Egypt. But now Potiphar's wife makes up this horrific lie on him that lands him back in jail again. And again, you hear nothing of Joseph becoming bitter or angry at God. There's one thing that we can be sure of in this life. Jesus said it. We as believers are not exempt from the pain and unfairness of this world. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But he went on to say, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But never do we read in the life of Joseph where he allowed bitterness or anger toward God or even against his brothers to creep in. And as I read that and studied it, I thought, what a man. And it was one of those epiphany moments, if you will, spiritually for me, that I began to cry and pray out to God and say, God, I need you to make me like that because I'm not that way. And I said, but I know you can. And it was out of this message came this morning. The Lord told me specifically, he said, go tell my people that if they will believe me, I will do a work in them that will remove every root of bitterness in their lives. Because we don't read of where Joseph allowed a root of bitterness to grow, as mentioned in the book of Hebrews. But I've got to admit to you, the Lord took me back this week and showed me where I have allowed a root of bitterness to grow in my life. And I praise him for it. Because when he shows something up, it's because he's saying, I want to fix it. I want to fix it. I want to make it right. Hallelujah. And observe this for just a moment as we look at the life of Joseph illustratively for this message today. Joseph did not deserve anything that happened to him. But Joseph, even though it wasn't written yet, he epitomized Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, my Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in that this morning. Glory to his name. We need to get our mind around that. When people have treated us unfairly and done things to us that we don't deserve, hey, it's God that's in control of our lives. Joseph knew that my God will not fail me, and whatever he's allowing to happen to me, I can't understand it. I can't explain it. But I know he's doing something good. Hallelujah. Some good's going on. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand of praise. But as the book of Hebrews tells us, and I apologize. Does anybody have a Bible with big print? My Lord, I'm so mad at myself for doing that today. Thank you, Andy. Here, I'll swap off with you. Maybe you can read that one. Man, that's just like a salvation transaction, ain't it? I got the better end of the deal. We gave the Lord all of our junk. He gave us something good. I gave, not that that Bible's junk, it just has small print in it. And let me find where I'm at here. Hebrews. I'm going to have to get glasses, you all. Because even this one's just marginally better. No offense, Andy, but okay. It's my eyes. It's not your Bible, buddy. Who has one like it? Oh, yeah, there we go. We're going to get this done today one way or another. Now, man, here we go. Now I'm a high-tech redneck. Okay, here, you take that one. Here you go, Mahari. We'll give you that one now. My goodness. Now this is illustrative. You know, Andy's Bible has brought salvation, but, man, this is like being baptized in the Holy Ghost now, you know. You got the full power here now, man, to go with. Praise the Lord. Now I just got to learn how to operate it here. Peel that back. Peel that back. Man, this is impressive. I got to get one of these. This is just what my need with my. Verse 15 now. Let's get back to it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 15 reverts back, actually, to verse 2. Which now, okay, I just want to pull the page. There it is. Let me go back to. Boy, Mahari, this thing is cool, but it's smarter than I am. It's getting green dots and everything on it now. I'm wanting to go back to verse 2. I know what it says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Thank you. Phil, God bless you. Look at, no, that's, I want to go back to verse 2, I believe, buddy. Oh, my goodness, now it's done, now it's went this way on me, Mahari. This is probably going to work better. There we go, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The object of faith, of course, must ever be Jesus Christ. And when verse 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, jumping back down again to verse 15 there, if you would, Phil, looking diligently, that refers back to verse 2, that Christ should always be the object of our faith. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. If we don't view the circumstances in our lives and allow God to give us the perspective and allow the Holy Spirit to implant in us the faith that everything that's going on in our life is good, then we're going to let a root of bitterness is going to spring up. And that word bitterness in the Greek text literally means poison. I was reading the other day on a website, a gang of so-called Christians were in an argument over how change could take place in a person's life. And I felt sorry for them because they mentioned everything in the world but the power of the Holy Ghost, trying to overcome what was plaguing them. And I thought they've missed it. They mentioned every kind of plan, program, procedure you could fathom. I mean, pages of it. And not one mention of the power of the Holy Ghost for change. You see, once that root of bitterness is there, the ultimate thing is only God can remove it. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. When he reaches down in us because we're looking unto Jesus, that's key there. And my Lord, there's going to be times like he did to me this week. And it ain't pretty. And I know why Satan has been fighting me tooth and nail today and using my own ineptness against this message because it's going to help somebody out. But when he pulls it back and he shows you, it's heartbreaking. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God, it's there. It's in me. Lord, it's there and it's glaring. But in the other sense, I praise him. Because I said, oh God, thank you. I know you want to get rid of it, and I know how you're going to do it. I take it to the foot of the cross, and I ask your Holy Spirit to reach down in me and yank this ugliness out of me. Because, Lord, I've been holding on, and I've allowed a root of bitterness to grow in me. When everything that's happened in my life, you turned it into blessing. Now watch this. This is God's grace. He did it in spite of me having that root of bitterness still there. Until he was ready to deal with. My Lord, that's grace. My Lord, that's grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And he took me back and he began to show me. Just like as I looked at the life of Joseph. See here, you didn't respond like you should. I still blessed you anyway, didn't I? Wow. Wow. I don't know what this is doing for you, but it made my soul do flip-flops this week. And it is right now because I asked him to and I literally felt it happen. He reached down in me in those areas that he'd shown me was wrong with the mighty hand of the Holy Ghost. And he uprooted that garden of my life. You know what a root does? I don't know a lot about gardening, but Brian and Sandy, man, they had us out their house last Friday night for a cookout. And I'm here to tell you, Sandy is the Martha Stewart of the Pentecostal world. That's the only way I can describe it. Her and Brian, Brian, he's humble. He said, I would take credit for it. I just do what she tells me to do, though. But they have a beautiful garden out there. And I don't know a lot about gardening, but I do know this. That garden has to be weeded regularly. Because it's not, have you ever noticed how weeds, that which is worthless and no good, they just happen. They'll grow anywhere. Am I right, Brian? You don't have to do nothing to make a weed grow. It'll just pop up. Especially if it's in a garden where you're trying to grow something that is life-giving and produces something that will be beneficial to nourish the human body. Those roots in that garden, they will drain all the life away from those good plants. So that garden has to be weeded regularly. The Lord told me, I want to weed the gardens of my people's soul on Sunday morning if they'll let me. And he said, if they'll open up their heart to me, I'll go in and I'll do things and I'll do a tremendous work by the power of my Spirit. Hallelujah. You sense that. I know I've heard from God. I know it hasn't been eloquent or pretty this morning, but thank God it don't have to be. He wants to do that kind of work today in the garden of our souls, because he said, look at what the scripture said. It said, many are defiled because of this root of bitterness that's grown. You've held on to resentment. You've held on possibly to bitterness over being treated unfairly by someone. But I charge you now, look back at that situation. Was not God faithful? And he turned that into a blessing. I wasn't going to go here, but I feel the Lord leading me to do it. Back when we left a former church, there was one man, and I'll leave him nameless, but many of you are probably going to know who I'm talking about. I feel that he just kicked me and my family to the curb with no regard for our future or what was going to happen to us. And I've despised him for it for a long time. I would have to fight when his name would cross my mind, because anger would boil on the inside of me. And the Lord showed me this week, all I was doing was using him to bring you to a place where I could work on you and get things out of you. And I've still blessed you, haven't I? Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this week, as he was dealing with me over the very subject matter I'm bringing to you this morning, he said, now I'm showing it to you again because I want to complete the act in you. He said, you need to let me take this out of you, Greg, because I'm getting ready to bless that church. And they can't have a pastor with a root of bitterness in his heart and life. And I thought, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I laid myself flat before him and I said, Lord, you take it. And I'm here to tell you that I'm not bragging on my ability. It was a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost in my heart and life. He's put a love in my heart for that man now. And he showed me he was nothing but my instrument. He couldn't have done anything to you unless I allowed him to do it. And I allowed him to do it because there was work needed done in you. And let me tell you something, church. Pain is probably the only way that God can really get something done in us when he wants to change us. Because I'm a stubborn person. I want to fight. I want to rear up. I am a combatant when somebody comes against me. I rear up and I want to fight the battle. I want to show them, you will not do this to me. And it was only the Holy Ghost that this man's got teeth today. Really. He don't know it. I'm sure he's forgotten who I am by now. Because it wasn't for lack of me wanting to go do it. And I knew I could have done it. Now, you all know me as gentle, loving, peaceful pastor. Well, you don't know what's on the inside of me. I'm just a mean, rotten scoundrel like everybody else is. And I contemplated doing it. Oh, I know this is revelation time this morning. You're all sitting there thinking, I would have fantasies in my mind about walking up to this man, tightening my fist in my suit, knowing he wouldn't be expecting it, and just hitting him so hard when he woke up, his grandchildren would be shaving. You know, you can do a whole lot to Greg Brown. It was easy for me to forgive what was done to me, but when I felt they attacked my family the way they did, that's what I couldn't let go of. And the Lord showed me that root of bitterness was there. And he said, and he did, he changed it. It's totally changed. I could hug the man's neck right now if he were here. Matter of fact, I'm even thinking of writing him a letter. I wrote him one letter. That wasn't a pretty one, though. I wasn't sanctified enough yet then. But the Lord showed me, and I repent before you all, I'm sorry. He showed me this week how that root of bitterness had been draining me of spiritual vitality in many areas of my life. And I thought, Lord, it ain't worth it. I want to be a good pastor to your people. You know, it broke my heart. Sometimes it's not enough to have the right message. I want you to think about that for a minute. If that message is not applied to every area of our lives, simply the knowledge of the message of the cross is not enough. Unless you're willing to submit to it. And man, sometimes it's hard to do that. Even to those of us who know it. But the Lord showed me every step of the way how, and Joseph ultimately said this. Joseph ultimately said this. When he had ascended and God had taken him, in spite of everything that happened to him, evil and unfair, along the way, God was preparing him for ascension to the second highest position of the most mighty or the most powerful nation on earth at that time, Egypt. He was in charge. Pharaoh had seen such wisdom in Joseph that Pharaoh just kicked back, basically, and let Joseph run the entire kingdom of Egypt. The blessing that Egypt experienced, and if you read historical accounts, they'll say outside of Israel in her glory days under King Solomon, there was no nation in the ancient world that was like Egypt. And Joseph was the one who was behind it all. When one day the famine came that had been showed in Joseph's dream, that he interpreted to Pharaoh about the sheaves of wheat bowing down. And I don't have time to go into all of it today, but in essence, in Joseph's dream, he warned Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years of great crops, there's going to be 7 years of famine. And it was in the third year of famine throughout the entire world that Joseph's brothers heard there's still grain in Egypt because God had given Joseph the wisdom. And he told Egypt, you store up grain because these 7 years of famine are coming. Egypt was the only nation on earth that had grain and food to eat because of the wisdom of Joseph. But watch this. This is what a beautiful work God can do in a person's heart and life. And we never read, Lord, I pray he makes me more like Joseph. We never read where Joseph ever became bitter. But his brothers hear there's grain in Egypt. And unbeknownst to them, because Joseph was a very young boy, probably barely a teenager, when they sold him into slavery. And now he's probably in his mid-30s or possibly even closer to 40. They appear before him and they don't know it's Joseph, but Joseph knows it's them. And ultimately, he reveals himself to them. Initially, he doesn't. And you just have to go and read that story yourself. I've got to hurry on. But Joseph told them when he said, I'm Joseph, your brother. And he said, I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to provide. He said, go get my father. I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to provide for all of you. And in essence, he told them, what you did to me, you meant it for harm. But God meant it for my good. That's the verse God used to show me. Oh, my Lord, that's it, Lord. I'm sorry for letting this root of bitterness grow. I'm sorry for not trusting you. And it's really a lack of faith. That's what it is. Because when we allow that root of bitterness to start growing, it starts growing because we're telling God, you've allowed this bad thing to happen to me, Lord, and it can't be reversed or fixed. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. That's what we're saying to God. If that root of bitterness is there toward anyone who has wronged us, we're saying, God, you weren't in control of my life. This, in essence, snuck up on you, God, and now look at what a shape I'm in. I'll sum all this up and quit babbling because the Holy Spirit wants to go to work. Would you give that back to Mahari? Thank you. Thank you, Mahari. Joseph's words. You meant it for harm. The people themselves that came against you, As Brother Lawrence so eloquently taught us last weekend, it wasn't them. They were being controlled by evil spirits. It was a spiritual battle. But yeah, it was meant for evil. But you are God's child. Nothing. Oh, Lord, help us to get this. Because it's going to be something we all know. I'm not going to tell you something you don't already know. We know it here, but do we know it here? That 12-inch drop is where it needs to get. Nothing can happen to you as God's child that He does not allow. If you're being treated unfairly even now by someone, God's allowing that for a reason. And no matter how painful and hurtful the situation might be, here's where we have to allow the Holy Ghost of God to, number one, yank out any root of bitterness that's there. He's got to do it. We can't do it. If you try and do it or try and deny it's there, you're headed for some dark days. Listen to me this morning. You'll never get it out of there. He's got to reach in and pluck it up because He's the husbandman of the garden of our souls. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to be the husbandman of our souls. And it's amazing that we can shut Him out. We can. That's how the root of bitterness grows, is when we, as an act of our will, shut out the Holy Ghost. In any particular area of our life, He wants to work. But if we'll let Him, He'll reach in. And He'll pull the roots out. Praise God. Praise God. And when He's done, there'll be such a beautiful work there. And that garden, our lives, will bear the spiritual fruit that He wants to bring forth in them. My. You know, I'm not bragging on myself, but I believe the Holy Ghost has brought forth a deep truth to us today that we need to adhere to. I know this hasn't been your typical Greg Browning-style message today, but that's good. I don't want Greg Browning-style messages. I want Holy Ghost-style messages. But He uses us as we are nonetheless, but still yet. Number one, don't allow that root of bitterness to grow any longer. Open up all areas of your life to the Holy Ghost. No matter how wrong you've been done, no matter how evil it was, no matter how undeserved it was, if you are God's child, God allowed that to happen. God allowed it. Do you not think for a minute He could have stopped and reversed everything that went on in Joseph's life? But Joseph, oh God, help us to look at our lives this way. He told his brothers, "You meant it for harm. God meant it for good." Oh, hallelujah. And here's, as I close and we go to the altar service. And I'm not throwing down on anybody. That's why the Lord told me to use my own life as an example, so you wouldn't think I'm talking down to nobody. I know He had me preach this message for a reason. He told me that. There's roots of bitterness out here in these pews. I don't know what they are. I don't need to know. I'm not asking you to tell me. But I am telling you this morning, the Holy Ghost wants to do a mighty work in your heart and life. And you can't get that root of bitterness out of there. But it helped me so much when I looked at Joseph's life. And I saw his attitude when he said, "What you all did to me, you meant for harm." And I just used that example of that person in my life. They wanted to harm me. And it was me mainly. I don't think it was specifically my family, but they did so in the process. But it was mainly me. They wanted to show I have power over you. When they really did. But God allowed it nonetheless. And the Lord showed me. See, they meant that for harm. But look at what I've done with it. He said, "Now it's time to let my spirit take that root of bitterness out so you can bear more fruit." And I thought, "Lord, I want that more than I want anything else in the world. I really do. I want Him to use me." And the Lord knows just how to get at us. Let me tell you something. I really love you folks. I mean that with all of my heart. I'm not just saying that to be glib or because I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to love. I really love you all. I'm concerned about your spiritual lives and where you're going to spend eternity. And I know that what you hear from behind this pulpit is going to greatly influence and affect you. That's why I strive to make sure, as I've said in times past, I always lead you to the cross. But the Lord showed me, I can't use you to the degree I want to use you to bless them unless you let me deal with this root of bitterness. And that's what broke me. I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not trusting you and believing you as I should have. But you know what? Hallelujah. Instantly when I said that, I feel it now. I felt the mighty flow of His grace overflowing me. I felt a wave of His forgiveness and His blessing. And Him saying, I'll bring forth more fruit out of you now. You've let my spirit weed the garden of your soul and pull out the root of bitterness. Let Him do that for you today. See your situation. It might have happened years ago or might be even going on right now. Number one, know this, God's in control of it. It could not even be happening to you as a child of God unless He was allowing it. Point number two, if God is allowing it, stand on His word because something good and something great is going to come out of it. Don't allow the root of bitterness to begin to grow over it. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look unto Him. And don't let that root of bitterness grow any longer. If it's there, let the Holy Ghost and ask Him to reach down and take it out. And He'll do it. And you'll walk out feeling 1,000,000 pounds lighter in your spirit. Let Him weed the garden of your soul this morning if He needs to. If there's a root of bitterness there, let me tell you, it's choking out blessing to you. And it's choking out blessing to those around you. Because no matter how mightily God may be using you right now, if there's a root of bitterness there, it's draining the spiritual vitality that the Holy Spirit is sending into you. Just like a weed does in a garden, how it robs the nutrients of all of those plants around it. Let Him have His way this morning. Let Him have His way. Would everyone please stand and bow your heads? Thank you, Michelle. That's the song, Change My Heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. Let me be like you. Just where you stand this morning, between you and the Lord, let the Holy Spirit be willing to put your life under the examining light of the Holy Ghost. And I know that's a fearful thing to do. It scares me to do it. But we need not fear Him, because He will only do that which is good. If He is going to uproot something, we may feel the pain of it, but what He'll put back, oh, will so far exceed whatever He took out. But right where you stand today, I feel the Holy Spirit press me on this. Is there a root of bitterness in your life? Have you been holding on for a day or maybe even years to someone who has treated you unfairly, treated you wrongly, where the mention of their name causes the blood of your body to literally boil? That's a root of bitterness. And you know, it's not even hurting that person. But it's killing you spiritually and robbing you of spiritual vitality that the Holy Spirit wants to put in your life. If it's there and you know it, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to require a great deal of courage. I won't make no bones about it. But the result of it will be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Ask Him if it's there. That root of bitterness, that resentment toward an individual or might even be an organization. Ask Him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. You mean this for blessing in my life. And maybe you haven't realized the blessing yet, but it's going to be because he's in control. I've seen the blessing. Even though that root of bitterness was there, thank God for his grace and mercy. Maybe he's even blessed you in spite of the root of bitterness, but maybe like he brought me to this week, maybe today he's bringing you to that point where he says, I want to take it out now because I want to bless you more. Let him do it. Let him have his way. All that root of bitterness is doing is robbing you of spiritual life and vitality and blessing. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we open up our hearts and our souls to the movement of the Holy Ghost today. Lord, forgive us for the root of bitterness if it's there. Because we allowed that root to grow. It's our fault. It's not Satan. It's no one else's fault. It's not even the fault of the person that wronged us. It's our fault, Lord. It's a lack of faith on our part. Because we didn't believe, really, that you were in control. And we didn't believe that you could overcome it. And we became angry and bitter over it. But Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray you'll give us a fresh revelation of that today. And that when we bring our roots of bitterness to you, you don't cast us aside. Hallelujah. You'll send the Holy Ghost to pluck them up. And you'll refill it with a flow, a refreshing rain of your grace in the garden of our soul to make it more fruitful. Hallelujah. And I know some of you are going to go home and you're going to think about this message. It's not been the way I preached it. It's been the anointing and the revelation of it. And all week long, maybe the Holy Ghost is going to work on you and bring things to light. Keep letting him have his way. Let him take the junk out. Let him weed the garden. Because he's not going to take anything out that's doing you any good. What he uproots is only going to be that which is robbing you of life. And he's going to let the rain fall in the garden of your soul. And it'll be refreshed and renewed. Praise God. Praise God. What I've preached today, were it to be applied, it would put every psychologist in America out of business. Because that root of bitterness grows when children are abused. It grows when wives and husbands are abused. And they're angry and they're hurt. And they can't get it out. And they can't give them enough pills to make it go away. But if they would only come to Jesus and let the Holy Ghost do the work, he would heal them. Lord, today we look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. And I just sense that the Holy Spirit has started. I believe this work is going to carry on in all of us, Lord, for a long time to come yet. As we yield up the roots of bitterness that are in our lives when you identify them, and we let your Spirit take them out and renew us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and mercy. Lord, build our faith today to such a degree that we know all things work together for our good because we are the called according to your purpose. I so feel a heavy anointing today. Just lift your hands and praise him and thank him for his Holy Spirit and his work in us. Thank you, Jesus. There is none like you. No one else can touch our heart the way that you do. We could search, Lord, for all eternity long and find none like you. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the good work that the Spirit has begun in us. I believe as individuals and as a body. And, Lord, I believe there's going to be a different spirit and atmosphere even in our church for allowing and yielding our lives to the movement and operation of the Holy Spirit today. Jesus, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. We look exclusively unto you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for the good work that has begun in us. And in the name of Jesus, we allow as an act of our will the Holy Spirit to root our lives of every bit of bitter roots that are there. And we know our God is going to turn it to good. Hallelujah. 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 Just bask in the wonderful warmth of the Holy Ghost right now as he's here in such a powerful, deep way. Lord, we thank you that you've revealed unto this body the message of the cross. But, oh Lord, let it transform us in every area. Let it transform us in every area, especially where there are roots of bitterness that have been there. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done in us and through us by your word and by your spirit today because of our faith looking unto you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being in God's house today. I wish you a rest of a happy 4th of July weekend. This Wednesday night, Brother Mike is going to be teaching again. A gentleman over in Columbus who works one floor up from me, he pastors a church, and he asked me if on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday I would come and teach at their VBS. He's got a pretty good-sized church, I guess, over in Columbus. He said around about 200 people on Sunday morning. And I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord leading me to do it. So you be in prayer for me. I'm going to give them the message of the cross. I don't know what kind of church they are or what they believe in. They may shut me down after one night, but that's what the Lord has laid on my heart to do. And just keep me in prayer. I know Mike will do an outstanding job. He did the last time that he taught, and just come out and be blessed. Mike will be a blessing to you. And I thank you, Mike, for taking the Wednesday night service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who wants to dismiss in prayer this morning? I know I see these blank stares on everybody's faces at this point in the service. Everybody's like, oh God, is he going to call on me? Mahari, would you come dismiss us in prayer? I picked on somebody who I knew would be comfortable with it today. I was going to be mean and pick on somebody like Helen, but I thought, no, after preaching a message on getting rid of the root of bitterness, I can't be mean today.